May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever. Amen. I'd like to read text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin with the 13th verse and read down through the end of the chapter, and then also read verse 1 of chapter 5, and reading the words in Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Let's humble our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, Father, we ask that you would be with us again this morning, even as we have also already prayed. But Father, we ask that these words would be revealed to us. For these words indeed are truth, because all of your words are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the previous portion of this chapter, the Apostle Paul talked about how he and those who traveled with him, how that they were continually persecuted against. We read from verse 8 through verse 12. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that when death worketh in us, but life in you. The Apostle Paul was many times beaten along with his followers, those that traveled with him, because the people just didn't want to hear what he had to say. And it's true today. Those who would profess Christ, those who would claim that Christ indeed is their salvation, they're laughed at, they're mocked, they're scorned, and in some parts of the world, they're even killed just for that simple fact. It's been that way ever since Christ came. It's been that way ever since time. There are always those out there that are willing to do something bad just because they don't happen to agree with the one who's doing the talking or the one who's doing the teaching. And it hasn't gotten any better. And it continues to happen. But in verse 13, he starts talking to the parishioners there, if you will. He starts talking to those who are gathered around. And he says, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And he goes on and he repeats what David had talked about in the 116th Psalm. David was kind of complaining about all of the things that had happened to him and how God had watched over him. And David said these same words. He says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. the Apostle Paul then says, we also believe and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith. Everybody who believes in Christ Jesus and who trusts in him for their salvation has that same spirit of faith. It's always been that way. It never changed. Those who had that spirit of faith back in the year 2000, in the year 1000, is the same today as what we have today in the year in the 2000. It doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. It's always the truth. And it always teaches. And it's always there for our edification so that we could be trusted. So that we can trust in the fact that we don't have to look anywhere else. It's always there. And he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, knowing that he, God, raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. He's indicating in this verse two different examples. The first part of it, knowing that he, God, which raised up the Lord Jesus, and we know that he did. There's no question about that. We read about that in the first part of Acts. Shall raise up us also by Jesus. What does it mean, by Jesus? Raise us up by Christ, by Jesus, because of our faith in him and our salvation through him. That's what he's talking about. We are raised up by our faith in Christ. And we shall be presented, or shall present us with you. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, that we are all raised up together. And we will all be presented to Christ at the same moment. We will be together as one. And that's the way it works. There's nothing special that one person will receive more than the other. There's nothing special that one will end up with more glory than another person when we go to eternity. We're all going to be on God's right hand with Jesus, because that is what he's promised. We will be with Christ. Then he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or increase to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. Everything that they speak, everything that they have gone through, everything that they have suffered, were for the sake of continuing to preach that word. And at this particular time, they were speaking to this particular group. It's for your sake that we're going through this. It's for your sake that these things are happening. And we're doing it so that the abundant grace of God might, through the thanksgiving of many, increase to the glory of God. That praise and that worshiping that God understands, or that we understand, give to God, because he is indeed the one that deserves it. He is indeed the one who it belongs to, because there is no one else that we can give it to. And for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And isn't that the truth? We faint not. We don't become discouraged. We don't stop telling you of Christ and what he has done. And even though the outward man, this outward flesh, this body, if you will, even though it would perish, be put to death. And that happened. And it happens today, as I've already said. Yet the inward man, the important part, that important part that will one day receive the reward, that is the one that is renewed. Because it has to be. And if it were not renewed, things would get pretty tough. Because sometimes the world can become very close. Sometimes our own human thoughts, if we start thinking about something and kind of dwelling on it, can make it a little hard to believe at times, at least for me. But I have to trust in the fact that that inward man is renewed each and every day. And even more than each and every day, moment by moment. The strength that we need to continue on is something that is given to us as it is needed. And it is given to us in abundance. Not just a little bit. It's not just trickled out with a little teaspoon or a little measuring spoon or something. It's given to us in abundance. And we just have to grasp a hold of it and believe in it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's kind of interesting when he calls it a light affliction. That poor guy was beaten almost to death. And he calls it a light affliction. This is how important, this is how much he regarded the glory of God and the reward that all those who believe shall one day attain it. It's a light affliction. And it is only just for a short period of time, just for a moment, as he says. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We would not be, I'm looking for the right word, I want to say punished, but not really punished. We would not really be persecuted by the world if we were the same as the world. It wouldn't happen because we'd be going along with the rest of them. But we are persecuted because we do not understand or we do not go along with what the world teaches. We have something better. We have something much more. We are something more willing to attain. And that is the reward that Jesus has for us on that last day. So we may at this time have what they call a light affliction. But it's only for a short period of time. I just celebrated, or well, I don't know about celebrate, but just had my 70th birthday. Looking back on it, looking back on all the things that that had transpired over those years, it seems like quite a long time. It seems like it's, yeah, a little longer than just for a moment. But when you look at it in this light of this verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because it's not about this life. It's not about what we are going through and what we are living for and how we're working and so on. That's not what it's about. It's about trusting in God and trusting in His Savior and His Son and our Savior. It's trusting in Him that one day we will be with Him and we will be in glory with Him. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. The stuff that we see going on around here, the traffic going by and all the trees and the buildings and the grass and everything else, it's just temporary. It's all going to go away. Scripture tells us that it's going to be burned up. It's not going to be here anymore. It's going to be gone. So they are just temporary things. But the things which are not seen, those are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that we have to trust in, because those are the things that we will be rewarded with. That eternal reward that God has prepared for us through his Son. There's but one thing that he asks, that we believe in him, that we trust in the fact that he indeed died for us. Because there was no other sacrifice that God would accept. And I even thought of it in this way. When Jesus hung on that cross, yes, it was Jesus in the body, but in reality, it was God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. How do you separate them? How do you separate God from being on that cross and Jesus, his Son, being there? How do you separate it? In the human mind, we can, because we see the body there. But in the reality, the only sacrifice that God would accept was himself, because he was perfect. And we know that Jesus did not sin. He suffered the same way we do. He was tempted the same way we are. But he did not sin. He did not fall into the temptation of Satan. Satan tempted him right from the very moment of his ministry, when he was in the wilderness. And he tempted him right up to the point where he was hanging on the cross and the people were passing underneath him and mocking him and telling him to come down. Because he knew that if Jesus died sinless, his time was done. And it was over. And then in the first verse of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, if this the body were dissolved, we have a building of God. Now this is a promise that is made to each and every one of us. And follow along here. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved or destroyed, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They weren't made by stucco, lumber, bricks, blocks. It's a house that God made. And he has promised it to us. And he has promised that if we believe, we will one day live in it. May he add his blessing to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord. And we ask and pray that as we leave here, that we would trust in you in everything. That we would trust in you and give to you all the glory and honor that you so richly deserve. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.